Happy Friday, Kathy.
It's Friday. Yeah.
It is.
Although when I woke up this morning, I swore it was Saturday. And then I got this inspiration. I'm like, well, I'm just going to act like it's Saturday. And
Just
I've
gonna
still
let
been
it.
working. I'm still working and
Yeah.
doing like all the things because I honestly, I'm one of those weird people that, I'm checking the Facebook group and seeing what people are talking about every day of the week, no matter what, because it's like my
Yeah.
passion. But I've been acting like it's Saturday and it feels good.
I was gonna say that is so disappointing. Like, I have to work on Saturday. Like, I have
Yeah,
snow
but
to.
it's one of those things when you like what you do, it doesn't feel like work. And so like talking about cadence at least, it doesn't feel like work. As long as I don't have to sit through meetings or anything, I'm
Exactly.
cool.
Thank goodness there are no Saturday Sunday meetings at Liquid Web. I'm happy
Woo.
about that.
Yeah, totally.
I have snow. I have an inch of snow on the ground.
Do you really?
Yeah,
Oh,
I woke up to
wow.
the sounds of the bobcat. Like, I live on a private road, so like it's a condo association, and so there's a bobcat that gets parked here all winter long. And every time it backs up to the snow, you hear the beep beep beep, right? And I'm like, yes, I'm disabled. That doesn't mean I can't get up and look out a window. So this is the lazy part of me. I open up my Ring doorbell cam, see what it looks like outside, so I don't have to get out of bed that early. And I was like, it's like an inch of snow. Why are they plowing? Like, yeah, in the South, I get it. People don't know how to drive in the snow, and your tires aren't, graded for that or whatever. But like up here in New York, like an inch of snow, like that's nothing, right? But
Nothing, yeah.
nothing. My neighbor was telling me that it's a really heavy, wet snow, so it was good that they got rid of it and everything. But and there are a lot of elderly people who live in my in my on my road, in my subdivision or whatever you call it, condo subdivision. And so it's good. It's definitely good. I park in the garage. I am one of like three people in this entire neighborhood that doesn't have their garage loaded with so much what was the word? Compost.
Really?
That I park in my garage. I'm like, we get snow, people. Like, do yourself a favor and park in your garage.
Yeah.
Like, this is the first time in my life I've been able to park inside, and I don't have to go out and try to scrape a car off in the winter. And next Tuesday, I'm getting an auto starter, like an automatic starter in my car, so that no matter where I am,
Nice.
I can start it and watch that snow and ice start to melt before I get in it. So anyway, I
Nice.
completely
Yeah.
digress from my topic of that I wanted to talk about today, but. Yeah, so I have a little bit of snow on the ground. You were saying it's cold where you are, and I believe it, but I have not ventured out yet, but I will be wearing boots when I go out today because there is snow on the ground.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow. We had a day, well, 2 days in a row, like Tuesday, I think Tuesday and Wednesday, it was 80 degrees here.
Oh my
All the
gosh.
windows were open. Of course, the cats and the dogs are just like, woo, what's going on? I just decided Wednesday, it's just like, okay, it's lunchtime. I'm going for a walk with the dogs at 3 o'clock.
Nice.
And it was so nice and so warm, but it was also like warm enough that I came home and like, I gotta close my eyes for a minute. That's sleepy.
Yes.
But it was so
That
nice. So
is
nice.
nice. I
When
love
the weather is nice in Texas, you have to take advantage of it because it's going to either, be too hot to
it.
do anything or an ice storm is going to kill people. So you
One way
gotta
or the other. There's a happy medium only so often.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, as we do talk for a few minutes before we record, of course. So I did give you a heads up, but I'll tell everybody else. My idea for our topic today is dreams. I actually posted something, I think it was last week on Twitter. Like, does anybody else have like recurring dreams or really strong dreams that they remember for a really long time? And I haven't done like a ton of that like dream analysis to see like what the heck is my brain doing while I'm sleeping, right? With the exception of one that has been a recurring dream for so long, not always exactly the same, but very similar. And so I thought I would share with you some of mine, and I would love to hear yours as well. But I have two
Cool.
dreams from childhood now, and where I lived at the time. I know I was 5 years old when I dreamt these dreams because of where I lived and where I was dreaming the location. So I sound like such an idiot when I tell you this part. I grew up terrified, terrified of ghosts and aliens. I never encountered them, at least not that I know of, but I was so afraid of ghosts and aliens. So I have two dreams that I remember in this house that we lived in St. Louis, Missouri, in Webster Groves, Missouri. One was, and I, so to preface it, my bedroom had a door into the hallway, a door into my brother's room, and then this like accordion door that opened over the staircase. And at 5 years old, I felt like I was the princess in the turret, right? Because I could look out over the staircase and like be Princess Michelle. So that gives you an idea. Yeah. It's important to know. So in my dream, I woke up and I looked over what I called the balcony, right? Over the stairs. And there were these giant daddy long legs, like 5 feet tall. Like when I say giant, I'm talking like people sized daddy long legs with these glass helmets on, like you would see in like a Mars Invasion type movie, coming up the stairs.
Oh my gosh.
And that's like the only part of the dream I remember, but I remember that vividly. The other dream was also in that house where there were ghosts coming up the stairs to find us. And so I ran into my brother's room and I woke them up because they shared a room, and we climbed out through the window and went on either side of the window on top of the porch roof so that the ghosts wouldn't find us. And in my dream, they looked like they looked like Scooby-Doo ghosts. Like they were cartoons in my dream, cartoon ghosts coming for us. So like those are my earliest memories of dreaming was at the time I look back and it's like so funny, right? Like Scooby-Doo,
yeah,
like cartoons are after me. But they were terrifying. Like I woke up in a cold sweat, like these things were coming after me and everything. But those were like some of my earliest dreams. But then I should probably not even tell this part. I was a victim of childhood sleep paralysis and I can't remember what they called it exactly, of night terrors at 2 years old. And I remember these, and I did, but I don't remember them as dreams. I remember them as actual events, which clearly did not happen. But at 2 years old, I remember my bedroom filling up with water like I was going to drown. I remember a separate another night when the walls cracked open and the fire was coming to get me. And I remember a third night where there was a tiger circling my bed to eat me. Now, clearly those things did not happen, but my memory is that they were actual, not dreams. I know otherwise. Yeah. But at 2 years old, they put me on Valium.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So if you wonder, like all these years later, what is wrong with Michelle? Well, it was the 2 year old drinking Valium at night to go to sleep.
Oh my gosh. Well, but yeah, I mean, back then, what did they do? They medicate, you know, everything.
Yeah, other than they didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like a 2 year old can really have conversations for therapy either. Who knows why? Right. I don't know why I dreamt or had the night terrors or dreamt dreams that I did. There's probably some trauma in my early childhood that I haven't unpacked yet, but, or a television program I saw or something that was, you know, triggering these kinds of things. But as an adult, let's fast forward a little bit. And then I want to hear yours too. As an adult, I have recurring dreams about bridges. And in one dream that happens over and over again, I'm with friends. It's the same dream, but it's always like the circumstances are a little bit different, but I'm always with friends and I'm in a car and I'm on a bridge that goes over a city. Like you can get from one side of the city to the other on this incredibly ridiculously high bridge. But I am afraid of bridges. I mean, I go over them. I do my best, white knuckle it. I've never not crossed a bridge, but I hate them. I hate them with a passion.
Really?
But in this dream, I'm always trying to get from point A to B and avoid all the city streets by taking this ridiculously high bridge. The other dream I have is Niagara Falls. And in my dream, there are bridges across Niagara Falls, which of course there are across the Niagara River, but there's footbridges that you can literally walk across the precipice of the falls, but like a balance beam, like we're not talking, there's no railings or whatever. And like, I would look down at my shoes like, well, I hope these Crocs will get me across, you know, as I'm like scaling across Niagara Falls. And in some of them, I have to climb the rocks from the base of the falls to the top of the falls to cross the crest of the falls. Wow. So yes, I've looked up what it means to have bridges. It definitely means like you're transitioning things in your life. So different periods of my life, these dreams are more prevalent than others, but trying to get from point A to point B, trying to accomplish things like that. But it's interesting that they're so vivid and that they have been with me for so long. I'm 54 years old and I've had them for years and years, and they're still, you know, things that I think of at least on a weekly basis. So interesting, wow. Huh?
Yeah.
What about you? Wow. Do you have any recurring dreams or vivid dreams, that things that have kind of stuck with you over the years?
Well, there's one when I lived in Chicago right after college. Everybody was just like, "Woo, move to Chicago," you know, and like live by Wrigley Field. It's what we all do, and so you know, I did it too.
Sure.
And I lived in this. I lived in the studio apartment. It was 15 floors up and it was like a block off the lake. And so I had this lake view, but, you know, in between other buildings that had the better lake view. But, you know, for a 22-year-old kid, it was pretty cool. And I was working a job that was just like, all right, I'm just moving to Chicago. First job, I'll just do this and sure. I'll find my way. Right. And it was not me. It was so not me. And I kept having these dreams, and I'd take the L from like that neighborhood. I'd take it downtown, and I was definitely having these like feelings of like, I live in a box, I go to work in a box, and then I sit in a cubicle box, and I'm just like box to box to box. And then I was having these dreams of being on the L, and I'd be like taking the L, and I was taking like, it would go underground. And so like, when you get down to the loop, it was underground, but I was on the elevated part of it. And it would take a turn and it would go off into the lake. And I'd be like terrified that I'm going into the lake, and we're like, we're going the wrong way. And I constantly, the entire time I had that job, and I knew it was like, I don't belong here, I shouldn't be here type of thing. I kept going into the lake, and it was the weirdest thing. I mean, I would sit at night sometimes, because like, it was so funny. My friends from college would get together and be like, remember in college, and you'd come home and you'd have like, and this is like, dating myself, before cell phones, so we had answering machines.
You'd
come home, you'd go to class, and you'd come home, and there'd be five messages. Everybody wants to hang out in college. And you'd come home after work, like, and it'd be like zero messages, zero friends. And so I'd just be like, okay, well, everybody's busy. And I'd just sit and I'd look at the lake. I'd just sit and look at the water and watch the moon, you know, and I just was very enamored. And I'd like, I was really active back then. I was like running miles. Like, boy, wow, it was crazy me. But I was like, you know, lakefront was like amazing to run on, because you had like the juxtaposition of like this massive, beautiful great lake that more like an ocean, because you can't see across it in Chicago. And then like man's greatness with these like huge tall buildings, and then running in between it. And so I was like enamored with the lake. I loved the lake. And so all these dreams, and I just could like, okay, somebody's trying to tell me I am not on the right track. I am not on the right track. So I didn't stick with that job. You know, I was like the first job out of college. I didn't know what I was doing anyway. And like, who wants to listen to a 22-year-old kid? I sure don't. Oh, these days I'm like, some 22-year-old kids are pretty smart.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I like, I don't know. But back then I didn't have much, I don't know, self-esteem was different. That dream. And then the other dream that I kept always having was, and this one I'm pretty sure like is past life stuff, because it was so vivid. It seems real, but I was again in Chicago, except it was Paris. And I was also like living on the lake, but it was Paris. And it was like, everybody's like wearing the berets and wearing like, it's like, I must
have. There's a mime on every street corner. Like,
it was in cafes and just everything. Yeah. Now, the funny thing is like, I can't French. If like you ask me to speak any language, French will be the last one I try. I just never, like German, I can pick that up. I can speak enough. Ein bisschen Deutsch. And Italian, I picked up like really easily. That one, I still, people talk Italian, I can understand them all the time, even though I don't really speak it that often. And now Instagram thinks I like Italian stuff, so they're just like, and I'm like, oh, that's so funny. And my daughter's like, what? I'm like, oh, never mind. So she's trying to learn Italian. But French, I personally don't feel any connection to it, except these dreams are just so vivid, and I keep showing up back there again. And then I think it was just like, there's like one major aspect of that lifetime, if it is a past life, or the archetype of whatever my unconscious wants me to know about it, that I just need to figure out. So I think I figured most of it out, though. It's been a while, but yeah, all my stuff is in Chicago, so I think that's why I left.
It's wild. Just like, oh my gosh, it's really interesting though, right? Like, when you, and if somebody says to you, do you have a memory of a vivid dream? Like, yes, I do. Like, boom, it's right there, right? Like, you could, you could just talk about it. And it's nothing that ever, I mean, past lives notwithstanding, but it's nothing that we've experienced in like current life. Like, this yeah. will come as a giant shock to everybody. I've never walked a balance beam across the precipice of Niagara Falls. And yet I dream about it all the time, right? So it's like, so weird. It's just so weird. Yeah. Wow. I do remember, it's funny that you talk about the French and everything. I remember taking French in high school. And, you know, you start to learn words and all these things. And I had a dream in French, like the seven words I knew, like, you know, whatever. And the rest of them are probably just made up. But I remember in the dream, I was trying to explain to one of my French student classmates, right? Like in my French class with me, we were on a boat with a cake. And I remember going, un gâteau sur la what's it? Bateau, sur la bateau. Like, there's a cake on the boat, right? Because they rhymed. And that's, I remember that dream knowledge. You just unlocked that for me. So thank you. Un gâteau sur la
too funny.
Bateau. I've been taking Spanish lessons for almost 800 days, almost 800 days straight now on Duolingo. And so whenever I recall French, it screws everything up with my pronunciations and the way that I am trying to learn to speak Spanish, because it's all in there, all jumbled up together.
Yeah. Oh, that. Yeah. When we went to WordCamp Europe in Berlin, mm-hmm. and I was with my son and we went to an Italian restaurant, and those are the two languages. I took German in high school and have friends who are German and mm-hmm. Who don't speak very good English. Very, very adorable soccer player that I met in mm-hmm. Chicago. Anyway, he didn't speak a word of English. And I'm like at this bar and my friend is like, I think he really likes you. And I'm like, That guy? No way. But he really liked me. So we ended up, we're still friends today. So anyway,
that's
but
nice.
Yeah, he didn't speak much English and all the high school German came back. So, but anyway, we were in Berlin and we went to an Italian restaurant and all the Italian and the German together. It's just like, I don't know who I was. It was so funny.
It's like language soup in your head after a while. It's like,
it is. It's like, yeah. I've got this one place that's like the other language and it's just like German, Italian, a little bit of Spanish sometimes, but
yeah,
mostly.
And my brain will sometimes throw in sign language too. Like I'll be trying to explain. Like when my dad's our third wife was from the Dominican Republic, and when I first met her, she didn't speak English, and I had taken French in high school, right? So we would spend the whole day together, and somehow we would understand. But there would come a point where I would be like trying to explain something, and instinctively, like my hands would try to make a sign to explain it. Like she speaks Spanish. That doesn't mean she understands ASL. Like, but it was also how it's that language center in your brain just connects everything through in a very strange way.
Very odd. It's interesting how the brain just is such a fascinating thing, because just like how languages happen, how do dreams happen, how do symbols, like just the symbols of, oh, I was outside walking and there's a crow. I wonder, now that crow's circling my head, like, what is this crazy place? And what are you trying to tell me?
Yeah, for sure. It's interesting stuff for sure. And it's like, I don't even know that I could write it down. I could speak it, but I don't even know that I could write down exactly what happens in a dream. And I often will wake up remembering my dreams, but then forget them very, very rapidly, of course, you know, and like, I should have a little voice recorder next to me. But then again, if I forget it that quickly, maybe I'm not supposed to remember it. Like maybe maybe it's good that it was fleeting, you know? I mean,
About those dreams that you have that it's like the whole next day, you feel like you're still there.
Yeah, those are weird, like so vivid that, for sure.
Yeah.
For
like,
sure.
Am I here? Am I there? Like you still feel, it's so vivid that it's like you were just engrossed in like the most impactful movie of your life and you can't come back to this reality.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you, I can't remember who I've told what, and I can't, and if it was even on the podcast or not, but did I ever tell you about the dream that my daughter and I had the same time?
No, that's cool.
Yeah. So she was 5 at the time. And actually the room that I'm in right now that I'm recording in, when she was young and I was going to school for my MBA, she and I shared this bedroom because this condo was my parents' that I've bought since. So where I'm sitting right now was where her bed was. My bed was over there. And at some point in the middle of the night, she had gotten up and climbed into my bed. I didn't even hear her. It didn't register. Well, I woke up from a horrible nightmare that I was at the local theme park, which is called Darien Lake. And I had taken her to the theme park and I looked down and she was gone. And in my dream, I am literally running everywhere. I'm looking at the bottom of the pools at the bottom of the slides to see if she's drowned. Like every parent's worst nightmare, your child's missing. Yeah. Are they dead? Are they alive? Are they just wandered off? Did somebody take them? Like I am frantic in this dream trying to find my daughter. And I literally wake up and the sweat is coming down off me because it was that intense of a dream. And I didn't even realize at this point yet that she was right beside me in bed because I'm still like processing what's awake and what's real and what's not. And she wakes up and lets out a blood curdling scream. Oh my gosh. I'm like, oh my gosh, Leah, are you okay? What's wrong? It's okay. You're right here. Mommy's right here. Right. And so first of all, I had been to this theme park because I was, you know, a 20-something-year-old mother. She was 5. She had never been to this theme park yet because I wasn't taking her to a big theme park until she was a little bit older, right? But yeah. She'd seen it on TV, like the commercials for it. So she wakes up with this blood-curdling scream, and I'm like, what's wrong? She said, I had a dream. I was at Darien Lake, and I couldn't find you. So we were having the exact same dream at the same time from our own perspectives. And I said, well, where were you? She said, I was by the Ferris wheel and I couldn't find you. I'm like, well, I was by the water slides. That's why you couldn't find me. Like literally we were having this dream the same time. Years later, we both still remember this vividly because we've talked about it over the years. Years later, we're telling my mother about this. She was probably 17 at the time. We're recalling this. So we're talking 12 years after the fact. And she says, she stopped. She goes, wait, mom, when you were having this dream, was it like normal lighting or was it kind of like that hazy blue lighting that you get in like TV, like when they're doing, I go, no, it was the hazy blue. She goes, me too. Like, so like literally having this dream at the same time. How weird is that?
That is a trip.
That is a psychic connection. It's never happened since. Yeah. Not that we know of anyway, but yeah, really crazy.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. Timelines shifting around. Like, which one are we on now?
Exactly. Which reminds me, I watched that new movie last night, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh.
Trippy. Yeah. Very trippy. But it reminded me of all of this dream stuff. So if you get an opportunity, you have to pay attention because it's in Mandarin with subtitles occasionally, okay. Right? So, but mostly yeah. It's in English, but then they'll like the family will. So if you're not watching, you'll be like, wait, what just happened? So you literally have to pay attention to it, but it was very, very, very interesting. And it was a really good movie about parent-child relationships and things like that too, in a very interesting, weird way. But yeah, if you get a chance, take a look at it. I think all of us will, you'll be like, oh, this is exactly what we're talking about. So.
Amazing. I love that kind of stuff. Like the movie, What Dreams May Come, the one with Robin Williams. Did you ever see that one?
Yes, yes.
Loved that one. That was so good. Yeah, I love I've always been just kind of fascinated with just it happened like in high school. I had this teacher and he started talking about like all this like real trippy hypnosis and other worlds and stuff like that. And I was just like, you know, better than US history. And ever since I have just been absolutely fascinated by that kind of thing. It's just so interesting to me. So I've always kind of been on the trippier side, which part of the reason when we had the opportunity to move to Mount Shasta, where they say there's Bigfoots and there's aliens and there's like supposedly a city underneath the mountain and all of this stuff. I'm like, tell me more. I never really had any like, I mean, up on the mountain, there's definitely, I don't know if it's like lack of oxygen or the elevation or whatever. I definitely had some trippy experiences up there, but I never like met any like aliens or stuff like that.
Yeah.
My son though would go like hang out in downtown Mount Shasta and he'd be like, oh yeah, I met this person. He'd meet all kinds of like just out there kind of people. So
yeah,
I don't know. Some people who are just like a little too out there. It was always entertaining and different, you know, just a neat experience.
It's our brains are interesting things that can connect and conjure and remember and create in such amazing and unique and individual ways. I just love it.
Me too.
If you're listening, we want to know. Tell us about your dreams. So, DM us or, you know, reply on Twitter. Tell us because, you know, you've probably found this because we posted it on Twitter. Find us and tell us. We want to know if you ever had a very interesting, vivid or recurring dream, something you'd like to share. We want to hear about it.
Definitely.
All right. Well, keep dreaming. I hope you get have lovely dreams this weekend. Well, I'm going to try to dream of 80 degree weather in Texas and not 30 degree weather in New York.
Yeah. It's cold again now, so
we're both dreaming about 80 degree weather in Texas then.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. One of somebody I work with is going to Mexico and down by Cancun and whatnot.
Oh, nice.
I'm just super like the water there. I just just want to float in warm ocean water.
Yeah. I understand. Me too. Or a hot tub. I'm not picky.
Anything, yeah, at this point.
All right. It's always a pleasure, Kathy. Look forward to connecting with you again next week. And for everybody else, we'll see you online.
Bye.